Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello, welcome to Marvelicious Toys, issue 116. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And this is Justin.
So Justin, have you seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 yet?
Not yet. I feel like kind of a bad fan, but I will see it, and I want to see it, but it's just not grabbing me as a must-see immediately type of movie.
I kind of feel as it's geared towards people 20 years younger than us.
I can see that. I also have a hard time still. I know we've talked about this before, but I still have a hard time with more Spider-Man. You know, I feel like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man wasn't that long ago that we need a complete reboot and a new universe and all that.
Well, you can hear my full review along with Jacob and Stuart over at NowPlayingPodcast.com, but we are going to remain 100% spoiler-free on Marvelicious Toys until 2 weeks, or Justin sees it, whichever comes first.
Justin, that gives you a timeline there.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but there was a hot toy announcement that made me kind of rethink the whole Spider-Man world.
Well, we will talk about it. It's been a busy time since our last show. Marjorie and I went up to C2E2, and things got a little crazy.
They might have, yes. They might have been a little crazy.
Marjorie may be living with impulse decisions for the rest of her life.
What did you do?
I got a tattoo. Another one. I should say another tattoo. Not I got a tattoo, because I have them.
So what'd you get?
I have a metal arm that is busting out of my skin now. With a metal arm with a red star.
Ah, oh, are you the Winter Soldiers?
I might be. I got my tattoo by a lovely girl named Franky, and it was her.
I'm sure that's her birth name.
She was adorable. I went with the idea of just getting a red star, thinking that'd be kind of cool, you know, kind of metallic, do something like that. And I went and talked to her. She's like, oh no, here's what we could do. I could put the metal arm on it like your skin is tearing and it's coming through. And so now I have this badass upper arm tattoo where it looks like my skin is splitting from the metal arm underneath. And it's really cool.
I'm looking at the picture on Facebook here, and that is pretty darn cool. You know what's even cooler is if you decide you need more tattoos, you can always take that theme and keep going down your arm, just adding more skin peeling away and showing more of the arm.
That would be really cool to have it like on my forearm too, wouldn't it?
It'd be very Terminator-y, like at the end of T2 or when the face had the metal coming through.
But I could have it like down my forearm. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, sleeve it out.
I'm thinking maybe I need more, but I have to space this out because these are very easy to get. It's not expensive, and, you know, they look very cool, and I love ink.
Can we at least wait until Winter Soldier's on Blu-ray before my wife goes full sleeve into that movie? Because I'm supposed to be the one who does crazy things due to movie hype. That's me!
And last time we talked, Marjorie, you were telling Arnie that he should get the star on his shoulder.
Well, I got it first.
It really was somebody should get a star, really her. But she wasn't going to say that, so she's like, you go get it, you go get it, I want it. It's actually, I don't know if it was that planned out, or if this was all an impulse tattoo because of a hoodie.
Well, see, yeah, I had a problem this weekend. So,
when she said Winter Soldier is her favorite Marvel movie, if you thought that was at all hyperbole, she really proved it at C2E2.
So we walk in, and at the Reed Pop store, which our friend Travis runs, I spied this Captain America bag. This beautiful blue bag with his shield on it. The problem was the bag was too big.
It was like a bowling ball bag.
Yeah, it was that retro, like, airplane bag look. But if the bag had been about half the size, I would have totally bought it as a purse. Like, I didn't even blink at the price. It's $45 bucks, big bag, fine. But I didn't know what I was going to do with it. And then as I was looking at this, out of the corner of my eye, I see Travis, we start talking, and then he points to this ungodly beautiful Winter Soldier hoodie with a silver arm and the star, and it zips up in front so you have the mask with the hoodie. It's awesome!
Nice. Sounds kind of Mark Echo-ish.
I had to buy it.
Well, she was hemming and hawing. Oh, it doesn't look too comfortable with the mask. Oh, I don't know. Do you think it's cool? And then Travis said, yeah, we're probably going to be sold out of those in 2 hours. The show floor hadn't even opened yet. But the official store was outside of the floor, and so many people before the show opened was buying that hoodie. They were sold out by noon on Friday.
Wow. Marjorie, you are hyped.
A little bit.
You got Arnie-level hyped for this movie, but after the fact.
I loved it, and he's such a badass, tortured villain.
He really is.
He's amazing.
I'm glad you waited till at least you saw the movie to get the tattoo, though. Can you imagine all those people that rushed out and got, like, the Captain America symbol on their neck because of the Mandarin preview?
I supported Marjorie's decision to get the tattoo 100%. It's her body. She can do what she wants with it. But I did want to make sure she was fully considering everything. And I go, you know, in Captain America 3, Winter Soldier could end up dancing in a jazz club like they did to Peter Parker in Spider-Man 3, and you still have that arm.
But it's still pretty cool, though. I stand by it.
Yeah, it's cool for now. Arnie's right. You should be worried.
Whatever, Justin. He was jealous I thought of it first.
Little bit.
It looks really cool, and it looks even better today because a lot of the redness has gone down in general, and like it really looks like my skin has torn.
It's pretty badass. I think it looks very cool. See, nice. And I didn't get a tattoo. I stood around being a good, dutiful husband and stood there the whole time Marjorie was getting one, and it was about 3 hours, and the more time passed, the more I'm like, there's a tattoo artist sitting right next there who really wants to tattoo somebody, and I'm bored. So I'm sitting there like, well, what could I get? And I'm thinking it through, and all of these various options are coming to mind. I'm thinking Star Wars. I'm thinking Nightmare on Elm Street. I am going down the Marvel list. And then I get this thought of, you know, I've always liked Spider-Man since I was 4. Maybe I just get a Spider-Man spider someplace. And then I thought, well, that would be kind of cool on my upper arm, and I could get, like, the long legs, like the movie Spider-Man, so it goes down the arm, because I like the angular look and everything. But then I just had this fear that after seeing Amazing Spider-Man 2, I'd be looking down at my arm going, you are you! So I decided I might hold off.
But it's still Spider-Man if you get it. And Spider-Man means a lot to you, and so does Hulk.
It does mean a lot to me, but I got to avoid getting that movie spider until they're done with their trilogy.
Yeah.
I could get a comic spider, but that's really kind of small and tiny. So I then looked at other spiders and then decided I'd just not be so bored as to pay hundreds of dollars for ink I might regret.
Screw it. Just go full on and get both arms fully sleeved out as Colossus arms.
That would kind of rock, too.
I actually was teasing Marjorie, though, because I told her she didn't get Winter Soldier. She got Rhino arm.
Because Rhino has a red star.
And a metal arm in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay, but everybody that's seen this plays new Winter Soldier. 100% of the time.
It's the lines. That really sells it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good con. And Marjorie, you also got one other thing out of the C2E2 store.
I did. I bought a Rocket Raccoon shirt. It's Rocket Raccoon standing on Groot firing his gun.
That's pretty dope.
It's pretty cool. That's a root beer colored shirt. It's awesome.
I like this because the art on the shirt was by Scotty Young, who's doing the Rocket Raccoon series, and who, way back, it seems so long ago that we were in Kansas City, and I got Marjorie a sketch cover of Rocket Raccoon, and apparently this is just the pose he draws for Rocket Raccoon, because this is an identical pose to our sketch cover. Maybe he was, like, practicing all weekend. Every Rocket Raccoon he drew was like this, because he wanted to get it just right for the shirt.
I like how Groot goes off the bottom of the shirt. I usually don't like designs that leave the boundary of the front, but that's effective here.
Yeah, it kind of works. I think that's all I bought, wasn't it?
I only bought a couple of things. It was a really, really light shopping con for me. I spent most of my time in Artist Alley. I'd pre-ordered a couple of sketch covers from John Hughes, who actually I pre-ordered it months ago. Sometimes you just have to be patient with artists. It was well worth the wait for the Black Cat. Got a Black Widow from Scott Blair, where I was inspired by the Resident Evil Afterlife DVD cover.
Nice.
I'm not even a Mila Jovovich fan, but seeing Mila with the gun in the rain and Scott does such a great Black Widow, I'm like, all right, that's what I want from him. The second one I got was Chris Hamer, who we met back in Wizard World just a few weeks before, and I picked up that Avengers cover with the four Avengers.
Which was really cool.
I decided I needed a matching one. It's really hard to find artists who would do more than one character, so I had him do four X-Men, so I have a balance of the four Avengers and the four X-Men.
Oh, nice.
But I was going to get a sketch cover by Adi Granov. They go, well, you can get a cover, but the colors don't really take too well. Adi does watercolor. You know, we can't guarantee the results, but you can get a cover or we can do it on paper. And I'm like, yeah, all right, do it on paper. And I'm so glad I did because it's, again, it's double the size of a cover, first of all. Same price, but double the size. He did all the Hunger comic covers for Marvel last year in their big ultimate crossover event, and they were all Galactus. So I'm like, all right, he did so many awesome Galactus covers last year that give me a Galactus. And he gave me the most stunning, gorgeous, powerful Galactus bust. And I'm going to hang that like right next to my Sideshow Galactus.
It is an amazing piece. I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. I'm really digging the use of color in there.
Yeah, he does such a great job. He is such a realistic artist. And the fact that he can do that by hand in a couple hours at the con floors me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's a man who knows his trade and his skill very well.
Yeah, so I got that, but his sister was there. And I might mispronounce her name. I think it's Dejana Granoff. Now, she doesn't do comics. She actually teaches at the Chicago Art Institute. But if you look, her art is a lot like her brother's. A lot. At a fraction of the cost.
And you can say, hey, it's a Granoff.
Yes. And this is a compliment to Dejana. I mean, I think it's gorgeous art. And I'm like, all right, you know what? She's here. I'm going to get a sketch cover. I'm going to get a Granoff sketch cover. And this was an impulse buy. Now, this is much cheaper. You ever been at a casino and you're having a winning night and you place that one bet you shouldn't have placed and lose it all?
Uh-oh.
What have you heard?
Big Louie's been sending me some messages, Justin.
Yes, I know that feeling, unfortunately.
That was kind of the feeling I had when I went to pick up the sketch cover. Now, this isn't Dejana's fault. She felt bad, but I gave her a sketch cover for Uncanny Avengers and said she mostly does female characters, so I'm like, let's do a Scarlet Witch. And I thought that would be very good, very colorful. Well, it turns out not all sketch covers are created equal. And I gave her a glossy sketch color that the color wouldn't take to. And she went in a very long and polite explanation when I picked it up. She goes, she wasn't happy with the results. And it's because the marker just wouldn't take on that cover. And she had me feel one of the good covers, and it feels very papery. And then feel yours, it feels a little glossy, and it just wouldn't accept the color.
But I think she should have, when she realized that, she should have felt it when you dropped it off, if this was an issue. And I think that maybe she should have, once she realized that, she should have stopped and told you, hey, this isn't going to do well.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, Marvel needs to maybe rethink. Why would they even put out a sketch cover on such stock that can't take ink?
I kind of agree that maybe she should have stopped or done something else. I felt bad. It's not a bad cover, but it's not, you know, what you expect from a Granoff. Either Granoff.
Well, if it was a little shinier, maybe you could just look at it as like a dry erase board.
That's kind of how the lines on it look, is dry erase lines. Yeah, so she's like, well, I didn't, you know, she told me she spent 4 hours on it, and she usually does it on cover. She tried everything she could. She worked overnight trying to get it to blend the best she could, and that was the best she could do. I can't tell if she was hinting around at offering me a partial refund or me maybe not taking it and getting a full refund or something, but I felt bad that it wasn't her fault that I gave her a crap cover. In the end, it's not a bad cover. I showed it to Marjorie. Marjorie didn't think anything was wrong with it.
No.
I feel like if I ever see her again at another convention, I will try again and take a good cover. So that was the one cover I think I went too far on. It was an impulse thing on a Saturday, and, well, maybe I just shouldn't have visited the ATM that day.
So you didn't totally lose at the casino.
No, he didn't totally lose.
It was just I felt I pushed my luck too far after getting three kick-ass covers.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a bummer. But At least you got one great Gronoff.
Yes, very happy. I also picked up a couple of toys. I got a Hulk.
He got a Hulk.
He did get a Hulk, finally. He got the giant Mego Hulk.
The 12-inch Mego.
Ooh.
Now, this was in absolutely great condition. It looks pretty much unplayed with. The clothes are clean, mostly. I noticed a couple spots as I said that, but mostly clean. I mean, for a toy that came out in 1978, this is in phenomenal condition. There's not a lot of scratching or wear on him that hard play would have inflicted.
I mean, he looks like he's a vintage toy, but he doesn't look like he was just left to rot in a toy box.
Except the box looked like it's seen better days. But still, you got the full box.
That's kind of how I looked at it. This was an open box that had been taped shut. I never viewed this as a keep-in-the-box toy. I knew this was a loose toy, but it came with a box, which was a bonus, given that I got it at a ridiculously low price. In a nice box on eBay, these things go for about $300 and up. In a trashed box, according to a commenter on our Facebook page who knows about such things, he said it still would have been worth around $150 or so, especially in the condition the figure was in loose. And I got it for $75.
Oh, wow. That's a really good price.
Yeah, and Arnie was really excited to get it. What was funny was there was a Star Wars toy there, one of the old Palatoy sets. The guy would not budge on that whatsoever, but he'd budge on Hulk.
I'm loving the art on the front of the box. It looks like Hulk cereal.
It is great art on the front. Someday, when I'm old and retired and rich, I'll do a boxed Mego collection, and this would be definitely one where I'd get a real nice box and keep it in it. But for this one, that was never my intent, and I was very happy with the condition of Hulk himself, and the box was just fun.
So he actually has real cloth clothing under there, right? The shirt and pants are real.
It is soft goods, and he even has the rope that ties his pants on. And the shirt is usually the first thing to go because there's nothing to hold it on. So, and it's got that too.
Yeah, looking online, there's a lot of shirtless Hulks.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it. In the 70s, kids playing Hulk, the shirt's the first thing to pop off.
Now, of course, the box has made me want the 12-inch Spider-Man version, which, looking on eBay, there's one AFA graded out there in great condition in the box, only
$2,500.
Only. Yikes.
So maybe not this lifetime.
But it does say collect all the superheroes, Arnie. That's an order, as you know.
I do know, yes. They also had Lenny and Squiggy, eBay tells me.
Well, there you go.
Mego, Lenny, and Squiggy?
There is an auction for a 12-inch Mego lot. It's this Hulk, Spider-Man, Lenny, and Squiggy.
Wait, Lenny and Squiggy weren't on Spider-Man and Hulk? Or were Spider-Man and Hulk on Laverne and Shirley?
They were all on CBS.
Ah.
And then I got a statue at a great price. The Diamond Select retailer exclusive Goblin Queen, limited to 300 pieces.
Goblin Queen.
Well, she's got some uncomfortable underboobs going on.
Uncomfortable? Oh, for her.
Well, I blame the listeners for this, because a while back, I got the Bowen Goblin Queen, and I posted some photos online when I did the photo gallery shots, and all the listeners are like, oh, you got the bad one. You need this statue.
And were they right? I mean, to my eye, they're right.
You know, Diamond doesn't have, on their old stuff when they were doing the statues, they don't have the facial likenesses down the way Bowen and Sideshow do. But their statue's very well made. It's got nice goblins on the front.
Is that what we're calling them?
And then those creatures at her feet, too.
The demons.
The great thing is I got a bargain. Because ever since the listeners told me about this, I've been having an eBay save search. And on the rare occasions that this statue shows up, limited to 300 pieces, it sells for $300 to $400.
Whoa.
And this is a tiny statue. We're talking about an 8 to 10 inch statue. Well, I saw it up there and I didn't plan on buying it. I mean, I'm not going to buy anything at the convention at eBay rates. But I asked how much it is. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? The Goblin Queen. What are you talking about? Well, it says in like 48-point font Goblin Queen. I'm pointing at it. Which one? To the right of Batman. Where? I'm like, up there. Oh, you mean the top shelf? Which one? I mean, it was really, like, the guy was stoned. Finally, I'm like, the black box.
Under boobs. Under boobs.
The one that looks like an Iron Maiden album cover.
And finally just goes, oh, that. I have no idea. Then he goes off, Bob, Bob, how much is the Goblin Queen? Bob's like, what? Like, it's almost like somebody put it in their stock and as a joke.
All right, I hate to tell you, but you were like two sentences away from being arrested for soliciting prostitution. We got a guy out here requesting the Goblin Queen. What does that mean?
Well, finally, Bob comes around and looks up at it and he goes, 160. Damn.
That's a fair price on the street.
That is. That's half price. So I ask, because Marjorie had already agreed to her tattoo at this point, and all of my cash was going to her. So I asked if he took credit cards, and he goes, no, cash only. And that, well, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to have to go to an ATM and pay an ATM fee. Will you take 140? No, 160. Standing firm. God doesn't know what he has. He's just being a hard negotiator. And I'm like, come on, can't you take 140? He goes, is that all the cash you have? Yes, I lie. And he starts doing this, like, hand over face, like he's doing a Curly from the Three Stooges type thing. Like, he's really having an internal struggle over this $20.
That he doesn't even know what figure he's selling,
though. No. Meanwhile, I pull out my wallet, which has hundreds and hundreds of dollars for Marjorie's tattoo in it. And I very carefully pull out 720s without showing him the girth of the wallet full of 20s. I couldn't sit down that day, but no, all I have is $140. So I wave the cash in his face, and he snatches it like, you know, go back, like a stripper with a single. And so I got my Goblin Queen for $140.
Wow. That's impressive. Meanwhile, the cops are still tailing you to make sure that everything's all on the up and up.
But truthfully, the best collectible at the con came from you, Justin, or at least in part from you.
Oh, very little part. Very little part. There was people working well ahead of me on this one.
Well, thanks to you, Justin, for whatever part you played. Curtis, I understand, was the ringleader. And Barrett, Andrew, and Daryl are podcast enhancers. Steve, who's the UK reporter for Star Wars Action News. And Chris, who's just a friend of the show who's been on a couple of times with Wizard World and C2E2 last year. You guys all blew me away with the most amazing freaking gift that I never saw coming.
I'm glad it was a surprise. It's always hard to keep things a secret.
Especially when my wife's in on them.
I did a good job. I didn't say anything.
Well, tell everybody what you're talking about.
You guys got me a coin that is super cool sculpted, and on one side is the Marvelicious Toys logo in full color with the URL and it's Marvelicious at the bottom, established 2010, all raised, not just screened on like a poker chip, but really etched in there. And then on the other side, the Star Wars Action News logo and everything. It was just amazing. I was speechless.
Yeah, he actually had no words. Once he figured out what was going on, he had nothing to say because he couldn't think of anything to say. I've never seen him like that.
Well, I had nothing to do with the conception of this. I simply provided artwork. You know, Curtis is the guy who, like you said, spearheaded this thing. And I'm impressed with these things. It's a heavy, hefty piece of metal here, and the detail in these things is just incredible. And it's a nice testament to all the hard work you've put in over the years on both these shows.
Well, I wasn't sure who had been in on it, but my immediate thought, because I saw the Star Wars Action News logo first, and then I turned it over and saw the Marvelicious logo, my first thought was, well, did Justin get one? Because you have to have one of these. You've been here from the very beginning. And I was like, he needs one of these coins.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, I'm completely amazed. Thank you all. For anyone who wants to hear the live reaction when I was giving it pretty much live, I ended up hitting pause as I just composed something to say. But that was on last week's Star Wars Action News that we recorded live at C2E2. But thank you to everyone involved. I'm truly touched. It's amazing. I don't deserve it, but it is awesome. And thank you.
Now have fun trying to take pictures of this thing. It's super shiny.
That was Curtis's second best part of this gift, is he told me the photos would be shot and edited by Tuesday.
Wow. That's taking it over the top right there.
Yeah, I think Curtis knocked it out of the park with that one.
You mean it's a gift and I don't have to spend 3 hours lighting it?
Yeah, but it's shiny from every angle. I mean, it's holding it in your hand. It's catching light every which way you turn it.
Yeah, I posted a picture from C2E2, and it was just a terrible photo. I can't wait to get better photos out there, and those watching the video podcast are obviously seeing all of this, and it is just amazing. I can't believe, first of all, that they printed a Spider-Man head and didn't claim copyright.
I know, I was prepared to come back with the other logo, but never heard anything one way or the other, so pretty cool that we got them on there.
Now, at C2E2, there were also some reveals. We went over and talked to our friend Zach at Diamond Select Toys. If you aren't excited for the Falcon, you will be when you see him, Justin. His wingspan is wider than he is tall. I gotta say, that's like a 12-inch wingspan.
Yeah, I am excited. Still wish Hasbro would have made one, but whatever.
This one is really good, and it is impressive because of his wingspan. It actually, it's not a bad likeness either.
Also got to see their next Diamond Select figure. They're only doing one from X-Men Days of Future Past, and that was their choice. They kind of had a little bit of back and forth with Fox, and their Wolverine Select they did last year did very well, but they'd just done a Wolverine, so they didn't want to do that. So they're like, well, who's the next most popular character? Actually, he said hottest, but then he realized what he was saying. And so they decided they would do Mystique.
Oh.
And again, it's a great Mystique because she's in the Oval Office. It comes with like a diorama.
That is cool.
Yeah, they have a lot of great stuff coming. They also showed off the mini-mates for Amazing Spider-Man 2. They did two Electros. One is translucent and such a pretty, pretty translucent blue.
Blue is the prettiest translucent color, though.
And the other one is blue, but metallic. And a really sharp metallic blue.
I'm sorry, were we talking about something? I'm still looking at the mostly naked Jennifer Lawrence figure. had we moved on?
And the X-Men Days of Future Past and Guardians of the Galaxy's mini-mates were out there, too. That Rocket Raccoon is tiny.
It is. It's like itty-bitty. It's like smaller than a gummy bear. That's the only thing. I'm trying to think of something really tiny to equate it to, but it's like gummy bear size.
Well, it goes up to, like, the waist of a regular mini-mate, so that's like an inch and a half tall, if that, an inch.
They didn't have on display what they've announced. The MarvelStore.com is getting its own exclusive Marvel Select figure, the unmasked Captain America from Winter Soldier.
Which I bet you is just under the masked one anyway. You just find some hair. You can make your own.
And finally, I stuck around C2E2 on Sunday. I'm normally not a Sunday congoer, but being in Marvel Unlimited, that $100 digital comic subscription service that gets me 20,000 comics that I haven't read, but a Gold Ultron that I really like.
When do you even have time?
Well, they did the special panel at New York Comic Con, and it was very cool because I got to see the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer there and got some special collectibles. So I prioritized this. And this one, I realized the dichotomy of this whole thing. Because I've been involved in a lot of comic book forums, and you start talking digital comics to hardcore comic collectors, and they're like, that isn't comics. Comics are collectibles. They need paper. I'm not ever doing digital comics. Them. But yet, you're offering for $100 digital comics. Now, I like digital comics more than paper because I'm running out of space. I'd prefer my space for statues than long boxes. It's personal choice. But they brought in all these creators of these upcoming series. She-Hulk, which actually looks really good. The Daredevil, Inhuman, all these different series. And they started with Inhuman. And the writer was there and goes, is anyone reading Inhuman? And one person in the audience goes, I will in 6 months. Because you're telling them about issues 2 or 3 months from now, but we're all paying $100, so we don't have to buy the issues as they come out.
There's a little bit of a flaw in their logic.
So it's a really strange dichotomy. It was a pretty empty room. They had it in a hall that could have set thousands. I'd be shocked if there were 100 people in the room.
Well, it is exclusive, right?
We did get a copy of a comic and the Watcher's eyeball, which was the hard to get swag from that table.
That's right. What did it end up being? Was it a rubber ball?
Yeah, it's a rubber glow in the duck ball with an eyeball. Do you need one?
Maybe.
Yeah. I have five now.
Nice.
But there were two things that I felt I got of value out of this panel. They did, before the panel starts, begin talking about next year's box set and the figure that might be included.
Mm-hmm.
And it is undecided at this point, but it looks like Agent M, Ryan Panagos, is very much involved with that. So I dropped him a line after the con and said, hey, Ryan, you know, there are about 36 figures Hasbro solicited and never made that may never see the light of day, but maybe you want to go digging for one for this box versus a repaint of something new. They have the tooling. Mm-hmm. It's ready to go. Instead of just giving us, hey, look, kids, it's Darkhawk in metallic paint.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Trevor, even if it was gold.
To be honest, my biggest choices for this would be Trevor or Phoenix 5 Cyclops, because if you're talking about comic fans who are really into what's about 6 months ago, Phoenix 5 Cyclops.
You're right. We thought we missed the opportunity, the window of opportunity, but we forgot about the digital subscription.
Yeah, they're just all into that right now. The other important announcement, though, and Justin, you're in this group, right? You picked up the membership to get the Ultron?
Yep.
They're going to have a special event at San Diego, like they did in New York and here in Chicago. Now, they said it's not going to be at the convention center because, A, San Diego Comic-Con wouldn't give them a room.
Oh, nice.
There's just no rooms to be had at the inn, so we're in the manger. But also, they wanted it off-site so that people who couldn't get Comic-Con passes for that specific day could still go to the event. But much, much more important, Ryan is really working hard to make it happen so that any Marvel Studios footage shown in Hall H is shown again to the off-site Marvel Unlimited Plus subscriber-only panel.
See, that's cool. That makes it kind of worth it then.
That would be so freaking worth it to not have to wait in the Hall H line, because I'm kind of tired of seeing celebs. I want to see that footage and be able to report on it.
Right.
And you don't want to have to expend 20 hours of energy for a 90-minute panel and be exhausted.
Now, this isn't guaranteed, but he said he's really going to try to make that happen. And if he makes that happen, that makes the $100 membership seem cheap. And they talked about doing a Guardians of the Galaxy screening at Comic-Con the way they did Captain America 1. Ryan was kind of against it, saying they didn't want to have too many events that take people out of the con. Everyone in the audience who was going to San Diego was like, no, show us Guardians. But one nice thing also for the Unlimited Plus subscribers, I didn't realize that at the premieres of Captain America around the country, if you were in one of the cities that did a premiere showing, they reserved seats for a handful of Marvel Unlimited Plus subscribers. So if they did a Comic-Con showing of Guardians, there would probably be seats reserved, maybe not enough for all the members, but seats reserved for the Unlimited Plus subscribers.
Huh.
Which is kind of nice, I think.
Yeah, if it was easy to go to a movie while at Comic-Con, then yeah, I'd be excited for it. But I just, to me, it seems like yet another lineup and waiting, you know?
Yeah, but it's, you never see a movie with a better audience than at Comic-Con.
True.
It makes the experience a million times better. The last thing I just want to correct in case anybody puts it out there. We did not see Ant-Man footage. I'm not sure that the footage we saw was properly introduced, but the footage I did wait in line at Hall H for hours and hours to see when, before Ant-Man was a thing, when they brought out Edgar Wright, who just wanted to do Ant-Man at that time, but no deals were signed, he had done a proof of concept filming with just a few stunt guys to show Marvel, here's what my Ant-Man film would look like. And it was a fight in a hallway. It had no stars. It was not anything that would actually be in the movie. It was using copyrighted music, but they showed it to Comic-Con. It's leaked online. Well, it was shown twice at this panel I went to in Chicago. It was slightly trimmed down. They kept all the exciting scenes. They just cut out some of the build-up. Yeah, some of the running. And I think they should have explained a little better what they were showing us, though, because the way they go it is, here's some footage we're never going to release online. It's a test from Ant-Man. And I'm not sure that just saying test from Ant-Man made it very clear to everyone that wasn't Paul Rudd in the helmet.
Right. It's more of a style sheet than anything. It's not really a preview or a teaser or anything. It's confusing to most people, is what that is.
Yeah, I mean, Edgar Wright went on for 5 minutes explaining it at Comic-Con, which is why I'm looking at that like, does everyone know that's not real? I mean, it's really cool, but does everyone here realize they still haven't shot a frame of Ant-Man? We're all on the same page? Good.
He's going to get so exhausted having to explain that he's just going to reshoot that scene frame by frame with Paul Rudd. Just so that shows up in the movie somewhere.
The funniest thing, though, is I didn't realize till they called it out. At the very end of the scene, Ant-Man casually gets on an elevator to kind of show this movie will have a sense of humor. And the elevator music is playing It's a Small World.
Nice.
So that's it from C2E2. We have a very short...
The Spectacular Store Report.
Justin, I was thinking about you this week, especially at C2E2.
Yeah, did you miss me?
I did. You're always fun to drink with. But I was at one booth, and I found a Wolverine figure that I'd forgotten about, but some listeners had messaged us on the Facebook page. There's a second wave of Family Dollar exclusive figures.
What?
And I remember way back when, 3 years ago now, the show was still new, and you and I both were on a massive Family Dollar hunt, and Jerry came in and saved our butts by getting us these figures.
That's right.
And I am curious now, years have passed, and you've become more and more a staunch anti-five point of articulation person. What would that be? Anti-penticulationist?
Don't label me, man.
So I'm curious, the way you hunted for the Family Dollar figures in the past, will you be hunting for Hulk, Wolverine, and Spider-Man?
Absolutely not. And it's not only because of the articulation, but if you remember back, those original Family Dollar ones were actually variants of Marvel Universe figures.
That's right.
These are 5 points of articulation figures, maybe repaints or whatever, just on Marvel Universe style cards. They're trying to fake us out here.
That's right. But weren't the first All-Stars also Family Dollar, the original All-Star figures?
That was after the cool ones, I'll say. They did start putting some of those vehicle pack-in figures on cards.
Right.
There was an Iron Man and a Spider-Man and maybe even I don't know if there was a Wolverine or not.
No, there was a Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Cap.
That's right. So yeah, this concept's been out there before, and now they're just throwing them on different looking cards, I guess.
Well, these were kind of cool because they're the old Marvel Universe cards.
Kinda.
Smaller, but the style.
Yeah, they gave up on Hulk for some reason.
Hulk was too big for the standard bubble. And the Wolverine has a really kind of nifty, unusual blue vest.
Yeah. Oh, that is funny.
It's like he's going exploring, and it's where he can keep all his little things.
Well, I saw that Wolverine at C2E2, and it was the only figure they had left. And I went and asked how much, and they said $10.
Ooh.
And I said, okay. Until I realized somebody had cut through the bubble with, like, a packing knife. Probably when opening the case, they cut the bubble open. And I'm like, wait, I'm not paying $10 for an open figure. Forget it. And thank God I didn't, because I could buy the entire wave and never have to set foot in a moldy, musty Family Dollar for $20 on eBay.
I'm really happy about that.
They say they're Family Dollar, but these are the type of things that could show up at Big Lots very easily as well.
I know, Big Lots is scraping the bottom of the barrel if they're buying closeouts from Family Dollar.
Yeah, I know some listeners have seen them at Family Dollar.
These may or may not be hard to find, but I imagine they'll be easier to find than that nightmare set that we had to try to track down years ago. So yeah, I mean, I went over to Target because, you know, why not? Not that there's anything shipping, really. I mean, outside of the Infinite series starting to hit. But I did notice that, remember those Iron Man figures? I never bought any, but I think you did, Arnie. Bought a couple of them with the rubber bands in their arms and those kind of gimmicks.
Oh, yeah. I have all of the Spider-Man ones.
Ooh. Well, you should have waited because now they're available for a value pack. Target has them for 2 in a pack. They're not even a new pack or anything. It's just the original cards kind of plastic sealed together in a clamshell for $15.
That's a good savings. I paid 10 a figure for those at Toys R Us.
Yeah. And it looks like they have some figures that I haven't really seen before. Like there was that Doc Ock that we had seen a picture online at one point, I remember. And there's a Carnage, not Carnage, a Venom.
I've been picking those up from Hasbro Toy Shop. I haven't been prioritizing it, but as I place orders, it's like, oh yeah, I need the Venom. Oh yeah, I need the Doc Ock.
Well, and it also has like a $10 Fandango movie ticket voucher on it for Spider-Man 2. So there's some value there.
Yeah, now you're down to two figures for $5. What are you complaining about? Even if they do have rubber bands.
If I had a kid that was into Spider-Man, I probably would pick up a couple for those at that price. It's not a bad deal. Just that price doesn't entice me to hop in on that line. But then over at Toys R Us, I saw them doing some Toys R Us logic, because anybody who's been into Toys R Us lately has been inundated with these huge signs as you walk in talking about their new, like, terrorism color-coded chart for how delighted you should be on the percentage off you're going to get. Because but one of my Toys R Us has a bunch of constrictor figures that they've just never been able to move. And they've been there for months. They've gone into the clearance bin, where at one point they were down to like $6 each. And I thought about picking one up, and I was just like, well, what am I going to do with an extra constrictor? I'll just leave them there. Well, this week, he moved back onto the pegs and now has a sticker saying he's on clearance, and he was $19.99. So I didn't do the whole color chart thing to figure out what the green clearance is, but I'm guessing it's probably 30% off, which still isn't as good as $6.
Yeah, it's way overpriced for a constrictor these days. The $8 Legends at TJ Maxx has shifted my valuation of these figures.
Not all of them, just the not hard to find ones.
Yeah, but yeah, that does sound like a Toys R Us move, which is a new phrase for a dick move.
Toys R Us move?
Uh-huh. Man, you stole your friend's girlfriend? That's a total Toys R Us move. And the last thing, I don't know if this really is a store report. On the drive home from Chicago, we decided to not wait for food and just do drive-through. So we just hit McDonald's. Why not? It's convenient and consistent.
And we were loving it that day.
And wouldn't you know, I had no clue, they're doing the Amazing Spider-Man 2 tie-ins. So we quick added a Happy Meal to the order.
And apples. You get apple slices in Happy Meals now. Did you know that?
Well, I'm happy to report that these are toys that no collector really needs to worry about. I was worried that they'd be like those really cute, super deformed type things like they did for Spider-Man 3 at Burger King or along those lines. No, these are just random kids' toys. I will give them some kudos. They had a boys and girls assortment of Spider-Man toys. So they had specific Spider-Man stuff for girls, like a little bag or a tiara with Spider-Man, or for boys, like a Spider-Man car, or what I got, 4 Spider-Man trading cards in a little tin.
The tin is neat.
The tin's kind of neat. I mean, it's got the Spider-Man logo, the one that I'm probably going to be really glad I don't have tattooed on me.
These cards are actually nice. I mean, not like I say you need to collect the entire deck, but they're a nice thick cardboard, not what I was expecting.
I got thinking, do all of them come with cards? And this happened to be the 4 cards that came with the tin. Then I realized the tin is to hold the cards and that, like, the other toys wouldn't come with them. So I just got the 4 trading cards. They had Electro Lizard from the last movie, Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man Electro. So has a little stats on it, but nothing collectors need to worry yourself about. But like you said, if you had kids who were kind of into Spider-Man, I think they'd get a big kick out of this kind of thing.
I think the girl stuff is pretty cute. I'm glad that they're giving the girls the Spider-Man stuff, because when we pulled up and they asked whether it was for a boy or a girl, you said boy instinctively, but now I kind of wish you'd said girl. I could have had a Spider-Man headband.
Yes, it's a headband and a barrette. I honestly said boy because I thought boy would be Spider-Man and girl would be Barbie. I mean, seriously, that's how it's been in the past.
Yeah, this is, I don't know of any other property that they've taken the same license and made a boy and a girl version of. It's usually, you know, we have, you know, like you said, Barbie and Hot Wheels at the same time.
I have to totally, though, rip on the fact that one of the items is a heart sticker tin. It's like the female version of my deck of cards is a heart-shaped tin. Now I'm thinking Nirvana. And there's a sticker of Andrew Garfield in a heart-shaped sticker. So it was like a total One Direction thing for girls who swoon over Andrew Garfield.
Harry Styles makes me smiles.
Yeah, it looks like maybe a diary. Is that one of them with a pencil?
We can write all about our love of Andrew Garfield.
It's called the Be Amazing Journal.
Yeah, you know, coin purse, light up ring type of thing. I don't think Rory would go jumping dog poop for any of this, but at least they made Spider-Man pink, right?
I think he's kind of cool pink. One of my favorite shirts is a pink Spider-Man shirt.
I wasn't kidding when I said I would buy the Andy Warhol version of Spider-Man. A pink Spider-Man would be kind of cool.
Well, I have some much cooler news in.
Sales to Astonish.
All right, so I have a confession to make here, folks. I decided at C2E2 that I have to have a Captain America replica shield, goddammit. And I gave up waiting for FX Collectibles. There were tons of cosplayers with really cool metal shields. Booths had them on display. I'm like, I gotta just find somebody making one of these. One guy had one for sale that looked really nice. And it was not an official prop replica, but yet he still wanted $10,000 for it.
What?
Yeah.
What, did he steal a car to make it?
There were some others for several thousand around. I knew I had it bad. I had this itch really bad when I saw one for $2,500 and walked away a few booths going, maybe.
You had an itch.
I had an itch bad, and it needed to be scratched.
With a vibranium shield. I don't suspect this story ends with you found a Captain America shield back scratcher for like $20 somewhere, right?
No, what? But that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Well, that very day, Friday, after wandering the floor, lusting after a Captain America shield, what do I see in my email but an announcement from FX Collectibles? It's finally coming. After 3 years of teasing us with their Captain America shield replica, it's finally being released.
Wow.
Or at least put up for pre-order. We don't know when it's actually being released. And if you remember, I talked to Brian Ono about this last year at Comic-Con. He's the owner of FX Collectibles. I'm like, Brian, when is that shield coming? I need that shield.
Arnie, calm down.
And remember, if you listened to that show, I got some pretty devastating news that they weren't able to find a Chinese company able to do the paint job. They thought it would have to be made in America, heaven forbid. And you may think I'm laughing at that, but if you make this in America, the price was going to be probably $1,200 per shield, and they'd only make like 50.
And then they wonder why things are made in Mexico.
Or China.
Yes.
They also had that other company come out with Captain America shield replicas, or at least say they were going to make them. I don't think they've gone up for order yet. And those were $1,000 to $1,200 apiece. So imagine my utter orgasmic relief when I see they must have found someone in China who can do it, because they're coming in on a boat at $600 a shield, which may seem high, but compared to where my mind was, that's a half-price bargain.
You can get two.
He's been trying to get one for years.
Since C2E2's prop replica auction.
Yes.
Well, this is the shield from the Avengers. And what I didn't realize, if you go to FX Collectibles site and read all about this, there were many shields, of course, used in the movie, but they also had different sized shields. They weren't all the same size, depending on the scene they were doing. So this was a 24-inch shield. It was molded by taking one of the aluminum hero shields and casting a mold straight from that prop.
Oh, wow.
And this one's going to be made of fiberglass, which was the material used for most of the shields in the movie because they were lighter and they didn't dent or get damaged as easily. So it's molded from an aluminum shield, but made of the fiberglass materials of the fiberglass shield.
Right. They probably did some sort of sand cast type of thing to get the imprint from the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it comes with a wall display plaque, and
that was important.
That was, because I immediately was thinking I need a shadow box. So, yes, this is mine. I went ahead and did the full payment where they get my entire $5.99 now to get free shipping whenever this comes available. And I was one of the first to order, so I'm getting one of the low edition numbers between 1 and 250. I'll be one of the first to get it. Mine's coming on the first boat.
Yay for boats!
Nice. Is Batroc driving the boat?
I hope not.
It should be here around the time of Comic-Con, they say. So I'm excited. I'm expecting delays. I'm expecting it to be here Christmas of 2016. But I'm okay with it because they were able to keep the price low, and I know that that delay means quality. I did panic, though, because I misread initially, and after my conversation with Brian, I thought when they were saying that if you do the full payment, you're getting between $1 and $250, and it said that that was only going to be available to between 200 and 250 people, I misread it as their edition size for the shield was 200 to 250. So I started to panic and, like, schedule my day around ordering the shield. But then I realized that the actual edition size is 1,500 pieces, and I knew that I'd definitely get one. So I did!
Yay!
All of this is just making me think that Whammo or whoever makes, like, sleds missed a great opportunity to make a cool sled here.
I'll tell you, you know it's bad when I'm looking at the diamond ones, you know, the prop, like, costume shields going, would that work?
Planning visits to the Spirit Halloween stores as soon as they start opening in August, seeing if they have something that'll do. No, that's great. That's way cheaper than I thought that those would come out if they ever did come out.
Yeah, me too. And that's why I was really happy with that price point, given the quality and given how badly I wanted that specific piece. There's not a lot of prop replicas I want from any of these movies. I've passed on Nick Fury's needle gun for like $20 at some of these stores.
Well, will you do additional versions of the shield if they come out with ones from Winter Soldier?
No, this is the shield.
All right.
It's how I want the shield. They very well could repaint it and battle ding it and make it the blue and white we never saw in the film. This is the shield I want on my wall.
Cool.
Do I need a life-size Captain America to hold it, though? Because they're making one, not master replicas, but Section 9 Entertainment is making a life-size Captain America.
And the question on everybody's lips is, why?
I have an employee who is actually super excited about this, but then she asked me if his clothes come off. She wondered if he had a six-pack underneath.
Probably.
Underneath what, her?
Well, possibly, yes.
I will give them credit. It's a great likeness for a 7-foot statue.
Yeah? I don't know. I don't get it. You have to either be a huge Chris Evans fan to put this in your house or own a comic book store.
But you can save $1,000 on it.
Right now, if you order now, you get a $500 discount and free shipping, which is $500.
The $32.97 is the price with $1,000 off.
That actually isn't outrageous of a price. I was thinking that would be closer to $8,000 or $9,000.
I agree with Justin because after Sideshow keeps coming out with these life-sized statues for $8,000 and $9,000, truthfully, $3,300 is a bargain. $3,300 shipped is an immense bargain.
If you happen to need a life-size Chris Evans.
Which I don't.
Okay.
I just want a shield.
We don't need one.
But I'm just saying, if this was a Spider-Man or a Hulk, that would be a good price. Or an Iron Man. If this was an Iron Man with a light-up arc reactor.
He'd probably be right here next to me, wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And if it was a Tony Stark, he'd be next to me, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
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 If we do have any collectors that collect life-size stuff, call us. I'd love to know. I'd love to get into the mind of somebody who collects life-size stuff. And also probably into your house, too, because you probably have a lot of room.
And finally, we can't go without thanking our sponsor, Dorkside Toys. And if you're looking for the Marvel Infinite Avengers, don't forget they have Waves 1, 2, and 3 up for there, plus the Marvel Legends Guardians of the Galaxy. And if you collect G.I. Joe, they've restocked again. They don't have G.I. Joe in any of the stores around here. I was looking for some guns, and I couldn't find any G.I. Joe figures. But they have the Ultimates Wave 3.5 and 4, so head over there. Also, Walking Dead, they're on sale. Singles from $4.99, Waves from $29.99, plus Star Wars Black Series figures. Their low-cost flat-rate shipping starts at $6.99. Spend $99 on in-stock, and shipping is free. So thank you again to Dorkside Toys. Now, speaking of teams, I'm still going to Toys R Us and looking for an X-Men box set that doesn't suck.
Well, good luck to you, because they don't seem to be moving at all.
I've even gone to some Toys R Us's and they put the security thing around them, you know, that little binder so you can't open them.
You know what they're doing. They're not afraid somebody's going to steal them. They're trying to add the illusion of value.
They just don't want people to see them. But I've learned that I can peel back a certain corner without damaging the box and using my phone flashlight see the rib cage of the upper right figure and go, how bad's the... Oh, that paint sucks. But here to talk to us about an X-Men box set from the past that doesn't suck is Jerry.
Let's turn back the clock for timely reviews.
Hey everyone, Jerry here with another installment of my timely review. It's been a while, so it's good to be back with my first review for 2014. Before I get into my topic for this issue, I wanted to update everybody on my figure poster project. Recall how I shared that I had been combining a shelf with a movie poster to create a display of figures right at the base of a poster? Well, I've abandoned this idea. Ultimately, even though I thought my Hulk poster and figure shelf turned out well, I wasn't terribly thrilled with the Avengers one. But I also wanted to do one with a Batman poster and some with Star Wars, and I just couldn't find an arrangement that I liked all that well. Plus, I thought it looked a bit junky once I had it hung on the wall. Overall, I just really wasn't feeling it. That said, my good friend Jay from Wisconsin gave me a hand-built display unit that he wasn't using anymore, and he was willing to part with it. So I put that case up on the one big open wall in my basement and filled it with several 6-inch Marvel Movie Legend figures, some select figures, and many other non-Marvel figures, mostly NECA movie characters along with the 6-inch Star Wars Black Series. Overall, I'm very happy with the results. So, now, on to my review. If you've been hitting your Toys R Us lately, then you've probably seen the all-new X-Men Marvel Legends box set. Arnie mentioned several issues ago that this set had some sloppy paint on the figures. I don't think it looks too bad. It kind of gives it a vintagey 60s comic book look, but yeah, definitely not intentional, so your mileage may vary. I don't routinely buy Legends figures, so I pass on this set altogether. But oddly enough, this isn't the first time we've gotten a box set of this exact same group of figures. So let's travel back in time to 1997 and see what Toy Biz had going on. Toy Biz began their Marvel Collector Edition figures in 1997 with the release of the original Classic X-Men box set. They'd follow that up in 1998 with the release of the Classic Avengers box set, and in 1999 with a set featuring characters from Giant-Sized X-Men No. 1. Each set came in a gorgeous display box with a lid that Velcroed in place, but when opened, gave you a complete view of each figure with comic art surrounding them. A similar look to the set that we have today, but I think this one was done much better. What I love about these sets is that they are a non-destructive packaging, simply meaning that aside from separating the tape, you can open the box flaps, pull the thermoform tray out, remove the figures, and replace them as desired. Now, I don't know exactly what warranted this Marvel Collector Edition designation, but it seemed that these figures were generally larger and with more detail. I think of the earlier Toy Biz Marvel figures as being a standard 5 inches tall, but these Marvel Collector Edition figures were bigger, usually 6 inches or more. I think of them as a precursor to the Marvel Legends line, which of course went beyond just the size to include superior sculpts and paint apps. Maybe they reserved the designation for limited production or maybe some special occasion sets. For instance, two of the Marvel lines from the late 90s had waves both with and without this Collector Edition designation. The last wave of the Hulk animated series from UPN had this designation on it, and the Silver Surfer line from 2000 had its 30th anniversary wave showed as well, but the previous two waves did not. So, again, I don't know the exact rhyme or reason, but I always knew that the figures with this Marvel Collector Edition insignia on it was going to be a cut above the rest. So today, I'll talk a little bit more in depth about the original X-Men team set. Like the new Toys R Us exclusive set, the original Classic X-Men set from 97 features the original yellow and black team from X-Men 1, or as I like to call, the Bumblebee Squad. You have Iceman Bobby Drake, Slim Summers the Cyclops, Jean Grey known as Marvel Girl, Hank McCoy the Beast before he entered his blue period, and last but not least, the Winged Angel. First, the cool thing about these is that we had never gotten any original uniform X-Men before. Around this time, Marvel was marketing X-Men like crazy due to the popularity of the animated series on Fox, which despite what the so-called Animation Aficionados podcast says, was completely awesome, even if it occasionally was served with a slice of cheese. Specifically, Marvel ran two comics around this time that pertained to the X-Men origins. From 1994 to 95, they published X-Men Early Years, which directly reproduced the first 17 issues of the 60s X-Men run, and then from 95 to 97, they ran Professor Xavier and the X-Men. It was a 99-cent comic which remade the first 18 issues of the 60s X-Men. So completely new art, new writing, but retold the same stories with some expanded content. I covered these on a timely review about 2 years ago after I had successfully completed my collection of both runs. You can find that back in issue 32. So, with that, there was an increased awareness of what this team looked like. I even tried to custom paint some figures back then to capture this team's look, but with very poor results. But, let's get into the figures themselves. I think the sculpting on these figures are very cool, and they have decent articulation, along with a few action features. Now, starting with Cyclops, he's in a very good heroic pose with his hand at the ready to activate his visor. Now, a little limited in the articulation because you can't make him do a bunch of other things, but I think it's a great pose for Cyclops. Now, lift up the visor, and you can see his ruby red eyes glowing like he's about to blow the roof off the school. A very cool detail considering you could have just welded the visor in place and not even sculpted in real eyes. But hey, these are collector edition figures, so no detail is left unturned. Now, Marvel Girl is a straightforward sculpt. Nice, but not really outstanding. The cool part about her, though, is the real rooted thread of hair coming out of her ponytail. Next, we have Bobby Drake, the Iceman. He has a spinning arm action that is meant to throw snowballs, but basically I don't see a lot of use for it. But what's really cool about this figure is that the really nice deco on it. It's molded in a light gray plastic with some subtle blue highlights to really give it a nice snowy, icy look. The mold itself, though, is a very good representation of the early Iceman. This was during a time when Iceman was more like Snowman and had a snowy texture, not a slick, shiny ice look. In fact, he even fashions himself with a carrot and a hat in X-Men number 1 because, you know, he's the young jokester of the group. Oh, that Bobby Drake. Next is the Beast. At this point in time, we've only had a handful of Beast figures as it was. A blue one that was a good representation of the animated series, an Age of Apocalypse version, along with a forgettable Kitbash item or two, but certainly nothing before his turn into a blue furry man. The sculpt is nice, but it has this leaping action that limits his pose. However, the natural pose that he stands in makes for a good display on the character. Now finally, the most glorious figure in this box set is Angel. It's a typical superhero sculpt, but this figure has wings that spans more than 15 inches. If you had one of those cool stands to display him up high in flight, or you could hang him with fishing wire or something, he'd look really awesome. Now this set is pretty obtainable today. You should be able to readily find them on eBay for $30 to $45. Now for six larger figures like this, that's not too bad. However, I picked up this set along with the Avenger and the Giant X-Men set in a single auction for a total of $45. For $15 per set, I wasn't passing it up. However, I haven't really seen anything like this since, so be patient, and if it's something you want, look for the right price. I kind of think it's the sort of thing you could run into at a toy show and probably talk it down a little bit for a better price. Now, I don't exactly recall what this set went for back in 1997, but I'm guessing it was around $29.99 or so. So next time I join you, I'll cover the other two sets a little bit, and then also dig into other things that Toy Biz did with this Marvel Collector's Edition logo. Until then, I will return you to Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. See you next time.
Thank you, Jerry. I've been picking up a few more of those 90s figures here and there. They're fun. And to go back to what you're talking about with the poster display, I hear you. I was doing that with those master replicas where I got posters of the comic covers to put in front. Space becomes an issue real fast. I abandoned that real quick.
You have less wall space than you have posters and art.
And it can get redundant, you know? It's a cool concept for maybe a couple places, but if you start doing that everywhere, you're going to run out of space. And it's going to be overwhelming visually, too. I think it's a nice marquee way to set up maybe two or three of your favorite covers with the right pieces.
And that is our show. Now, don't forget, we have a contest going on. There's just a couple more days. You have until the 9th to enter to win a brand new, still hard as hell to find, mint on card Marvel Infinite Series Wasp figure.
All you have to do is follow us on Instagram and tag us in a photo of a Marvel item on Instagram.
And we are Marvelicious Toys on Instagram.
And we will be back in 2 weeks. We're going to spoil the heck out of Amazing Spider-Man and talk some more toys. And in the meantime, don't forget, head to nowplayingpodcast.com. Here's Stuart, Jacob, and I completely deconstruct, reconstruct, and spin a web reviewing Amazing Spider-Man 2.
So all that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys and Now Playing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds, as well as product reviews, on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast video enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Photo editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars, Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2014, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Would you like to start us off, please?
Yes. And we're on 116, right?
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to Marvelicious Toys, issue 116.
I'm a f***ing idiot.
you hit hang up instead of record because it was mm-hmm. red again, didn't you?
Like, oh, I'm going to record. Sorry. 2 weeks in a row.
And I put it in the bloopers last time, so everyone will know you did it twice.
I'm an idiot.
That's a root beer colored shirt. It's awesome.
Root beer is a color?
Yeah.
Did you know, Justin, that there is an app that is like the Pantone thing, so you could take a photo? And because I met an artist who I knew from Twitter, and he and I like had a conversation, and then somebody overheard at the next table, and they went to him and said, "You're an artist? Can you settle a dispute? What color is my friend's shirt?" And so he pulled out his app and did a photo, and gray.
Gray 535. Sorry. Cool Gray 2. There you go.
So from now on, we can use the app. Is there root beer?
Yeah. I feel like an app like that would really be dependent on the lighting, the camera, the interpretation of the screen.
That's why you have to have the Pantone color wheel, because that is the only true way to see a color.
Exactly. But I might download that app. That sounds kind of cool.
Because last time I gave no direction, I got something a little bit more
weird
than I wanted.
He's a very nice man.
He's extraordinarily nice, but he's not afraid to go naked.
Aha.
When he's drawing. I don't know about himself. I've never seen him go naked at a con.
I want to start that over. So far, it sounds like you're saying he draws naked.
He might. I don't know.
He's not afraid to make the characters nearly nude, totally nude, covered.
Or never nude.
Covered only in their naughty bits by slime. He did so many awesome Galactus covers last year. Yeah. I have five now.
Nice.
Marjorie grabbed two balls, I grabbed two balls, and then I was given one in the panel.
Oh, that was great.
So you grabbed Lance Armstrong.
We had a ball at C2E2.
Marjorie's grabbing balls, Arnie's grabbing balls, and he got one in the panel. Oh.
I wasn't even drunk when I was grabbing balls.
Ooh, then the Goblin Queen made an appearance. It was
kinky.
Sounds like you guys had fun.
We did. Immense fun.
There's just no rooms to be had at the inn, so we're in the manger.
Oh, well, let it be at the strip club. Let it be at the strip club.
That sounds like a great name for a strip club, the manger. I know I did go into one Family Dollar. It was a very surreal experience because somehow nobody saw me walk into the store, and the two employees decided to have a smoke break while I'm in their store. And then I hear them come out, "Whose fancy car is that? Is anyone here?"
It's just me looking through the expired milk.
I don't say a word. I'm still looking for my toys. They leave the store. I'm alone in the Family Dollar. I give up on the toys. I walk out. The women like jump that somebody was in their store. And they go, "Oh, you own the car." I just go, "Yep." Drive off.
World's biggest heist movie.
They had a boys' assortment and a girls' assortment.
Assortment.